everybody. Welcome to another episode of Hawk Blogger Mornings. I'm Brian Emhauser. It is a lovely Wednesday morning here in Seattle. I hope you all are enjoying the middle of your work week. Whatever you are doing, let me know what you do. It would be fun to kind of get to know everybody a little bit better. So feel free to add it in comments or in chat. And tell me what you got planned for this week. I mean, it's heading into spring, heading into, you know, weather is unpredictable here in Seattle, but eager to hear what people are doing, what they got planned. As for me, I'm going to be doing the show. I've got, you know, some plans with some friends and family, but nothing too crazy. So pretty calm time of the year for me. Kind of a good time to, you know, get in some workouts, get in some golf, all that good stuff. So a couple things to go over today. Like the main focus of today's episode is going to be kind of a sibling episode to the Red Zone episode. If you watch that, I think that was Monday maybe, where I went into the Seahawks' problems in the Red Zone last year and some of the information about why the Red Zone could look very different for the Seahawks this year. Well, the other key kind of situational football aspect of where Seattle struggled last year was on third downs. And I want to look at that today. Some of that I've already looked at. Some of it, we're going to go old school Hawk Blogger Mornings, like when I used to just kind of look stuff up with you guys and find out together what we learned. So I may dive into fourth downs as well as third downs, because I think fourth downs have become increasingly important in the NFL as more teams go for them. And Mike McDonald is one of the coaches that does that quite a bit. Before I get to that, obviously, I want to remind you to give the show a like and click subscribe. I would appreciate it. I think we're just over 100 subscribers away from 20,000 subscribers here on YouTube. Would love to add you to that mix if you haven't already. Give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Let's take a quick look, why not, at where we are on Apple Podcasts right now. We are standing strong at 4.6. Would love to get up there to 4.7, 4.8, 4.9. Just could use a little help. If you could give a 5-star review there or on Spotify, would be great as well. The other thing I wanted to share, just news-wise, like let's talk news before we get into the details. So there had been a proposal by the NFL, by the Lions specifically, to change the way NFL playoff seeding worked. And, you know, without getting into all the confusion of it, the NFL has always really prioritized division winners. And so even if you had a inferior record as a division winner, you would still host a playoff game at home against a wild card team. All right. And Seahawks fans will remember this from when they, Pete Carroll's first year, they went 7-9, like the worst record of a division winner ever. And they hosted the New Orleans Saints, who were a reigning Super Bowl champ, and Beastquake happened. So Seahawks fans have a history with this, but there are other teams that have had the inverse history, which is like, hey, we have a, you know, the Saints would probably say we had a much better record. We should have been hosting that game. And the news of the morning is that the Lions have rescinded their proposal for the playoff seeding changes. So playoffs will continue to be seeded based off of division winners will be prioritized. And then, you know, it doesn't matter if a wildcard team has a better record. So I think that's, personally, I think that's good news, but, you know, I'm not going to lose much sleep over it one way or another. We have not, as far as I know, gotten the tush push results yet. And it's funny, I was trying to remember this yesterday. I kept remembering it as there was a play in the NFL where a player was pushed into the end zone and it was this big infamous play. And a friend helped me remember it wasn't the NFL. It was the Reggie Bush. The Bush push, if you remember that, with Matt Leinart against Notre Dame. Thank you to Sean, my buddy, who helped me remember that. And I mean, I don't have a super strong point of view on the tush push. I think it's lame to eliminate a play because you can't stop it. That to me is lame. I think Mike McDonald feels the same way. At least that's what he said at the owners meeting. At the same time, there's something a little bit artificial about a runner getting yards because they're being pushed to get those yards versus them getting those yards themselves. I would hate if they banned the tush push and then you'd get penalties for when offensive linemen run up and push the pile 10 yards down the field. Those feel like very different plays. So I guess for me, you know, if they could find a way to eliminate it when it is a designed part of the play and allow it when it's later on in the play, you know, maybe down the field, maybe they could just make it based off if it's at the line of scrimmage versus it is down the field. I mean, I've seen some pretty fun plays where linemen run down the field and push guys down further. So whatever, you know, it won't make or break the NFL, but it could have a real effect on the Philadelphia Eagles because, as I mentioned in the red zone episode, Jalen Hurts led the NFL in red zone touchdowns with 14 last year. A lot of those are coming on, maybe all of those are coming on tush push plays. And we'll see if they're as effective without the pushing. We'll see. The other thing I wanted to play, this is something that Jeff Simmons shared with me this morning that I thought was at least worth listening to. And the way I want you to listen to this is Eric DaCosta, the Ravens general manager, talking about their draft pick in the first round. And there were a number of guys available. And this was a tweet from Josh Norris that says, as they got close on to being on the clock, Eric DaCosta brought up the director of college scouting, Andrew Raphael, and assistant director of college scouting, Joey Cleary, to ask their preference between two players. Malachi Starks was one, and based on John Harbaugh's screen, Nick Emenwori might have been the other. So this is a listen to this with an assumption that the conversation is about Malachi Starks versus Nick Emenwori. All right, here we go.
A lot still on the board for the Ravens, surprisingly, here as we get into the 12.
And I know you both like Starks, so who would you take?
Starks.
What separates those two guys?
The intangibles that make Starks' playmaking ability. It's not close as far as what you get in the makeup.
Okay, so you probably can't hear it that well. So let me read to you what they're saying. As I'm listening to it, it's pretty good. It says, what separates those two? This is assuming it's between Malachi Starks and Nick Emenwori. And the scouting guy said, the intangibles, the makeup, Starks' playmaking ability. And then it said, as far as intangibles, it's not close. As far as you're getting, as far as makeup, it's not even close. That's interesting to me. And this is something that, you know, there were rumors about from Bob McGinn's article about Nick Emenwori's makeup heading into the draft. I haven't detected it in my interactions with Nick Emenwori. Doesn't mean it's not there, but it'll be very interesting to find out over time if that becomes an issue and a separator between those two players. So I thought that might be worth, if you hadn't heard it, or at least now you know what they were saying, that there's a little bit of a rap on potentially Nick Emenwori on his makeup and kind of who he is. And I'm kind of curious about that. I'm going to ask him about it at some point. I'd love to talk to his coaches about it at some point as well. All right. So those were a couple bits of news items. And let's take a look at third downs, shall we? Let's take a look at third downs. First, let's remember where the Seahawks were last year. So the Seahawks last year were a team that converted 37.6% of their third downs. That was 21st in the NFL. All right. Not great. And as I kind of looked through some different data points, you know, I wanted to kind of set the stage for certain situations where they struggled even more. So the Seahawks on just any third down of any distance, again, 21st in the NFL, they had an average to go of 7.9 yards. That is dead last in the NFL. It was a historic number for much of the year. I think it went down a little bit, but basically their average third down was 8 yards to go. It's not good. To give you an idea of the other offenses that were in their zip code, the Cleveland Browns, the Houston Texans, interestingly, the Chicago Bears, the Tennessee Titans. Do you notice anything about those offenses? They all had pretty terrible offensive lines. And so that was one piece that was interesting. The other piece that was interesting to me, looking at Seahawks third down and their tendencies last year, the Seahawks passed on 181 of their third down plays. They ran the ball just 45 times. 181 passes versus 45 rushes. To give you some, I mean, part of that is having that much yards to go. You're not going to run very often on third and eight. But if you look at the teams that were best in the NFL overall, you get a little bit more of an evening, like the Ravens, 135 passes, 64 rushes. The Lions, 150 passes, 62 rushes. You're going to generally, everybody passes more on all third downs of any distance than they do run, because there's a lot of third downs that are not really running situations. The other thing to know about with the Seahawks on third down is they had one of the highest turnover rates, 3.1% turnover rate. So they were 10th in the NFL in turnover rate on third downs. Not great either. So that's kind of all third downs, okay? That's all third downs. Now, if you zoom in on some specific areas, they had some areas where they struggled more. And one of them was third and short, third and 3 yards or less. Seahawks finished middle of the pack, roughly, in third down and short. But the thing that was interesting is, of the teams that were best at converting third and short, like the Baltimore Ravens, they ran the ball 48 times and they passed it 7 on third and 3 yards or less. 48 runs, 7 passes. That is crazy. The LA Chargers, Mike McDonald's former boss, Jim Harbaugh, ran the ball 52 times, passed the ball 12 times. Just massive, massive leans, ratios towards the run in third and short. Arizona Cardinals, 34 rushes, 24 passes. Dallas Cowboys, 32 rushes, 27 passes. Washington Commanders, 40 rushes, 36 passes. So everybody that was the best in the NFL at converting third and short ran more than they passed. The Philadelphia Eagles, 51 rushes, 18 passes. Interestingly, the Lions were pretty even, 36 rushes to 35 passes. They really mixed it up. What did the Seattle Seahawks do in third and 3 yards or less? They passed it 35 times. They ran it 23. One of the largest disparities in pass versus run. The only other team that I think was significantly more was the Cincinnati Bengals, 56 passes to 24 rushes. And the Bengals were one of the worst third and short teams in football last year. So there was a identity crisis for Seattle, specifically in these short yardage situations, where when it came down to it, they often elected to pass it. And that's not what the best teams in football do on third and short. On the flip side, when it was third and long, 7 to 10 yards to go, the Seahawks converted 33.8% of their third and long, 7 to 10 yards to go. One of the interesting things here is the New York Jets were best in the NFL at converting third and long, which is kind of an odd stat, but they had an 8% turnover rate. That is wild to me on third and long. The Seahawks turnover rate was 4.6%. So when you get to third and long, it's going to be a lot of passing. The Seahawks passed 60 times. They only ran 5 times. And the Seahawks, you know, were not great in that scenario. When you get to third and 10 plus, the Seahawks were one of the worst teams, the second to worst, the 31st ranked team in the NFL. They only converted 13% of third and 10 yards or more. And you might say, like, well, who cares? Like, that's not a big deal. And I admit, like, that's not the most important marker. But if you look at the teams that were best at that in the NFL, the Tampa Bay Bucks. Tampa Bay Bucks converted 36% of their third and 10 or long, 10 or greater. That is wild. The Minnesota Vikings, 29%. The Houston Texans, 26%. The Cincinnati Bengals, 26%. The Kansas City Chiefs, 25%. The Washington Commanders, 25%. Green Bay Packers, 24%. Detroit Lions, 23%. Baltimore Ravens, 22%. Those are a lot of playoff teams that were good in this scenario. And it's worth noting that one of them was the Minnesota Vikings, who had Sam Darnold as their quarterback. We'll talk about how he performed on third downs in a bit. When, again, so the Seahawks were 31st in the NFL on third and 10 plus. They were, 31, 32, 30, 28, 27, 26, 25, 24, 23. They were 22nd in the NFL. Sorry, this particular screen I'm looking at does not have the rankings, so I have to count it out. But I think the thing that's really worth being aware of with the Seahawks is how pass-oriented they were on third down, how predictable they were on third down, especially third and short, which is wild. So let's go through those numbers really quickly and look at how Minnesota did in those situations, as well as how the New Orleans Saints did. So the Minnesota Vikings on all third downs of any distance last year converted 42%, which ranked that ranked 14th in the NFL. Top half, not terrific, not terrible. All right. Interestingly, their average yards to go was 7.4, which is not that far off the Seahawks 7.9. So despite having a similar average distance to go, they had a meaningfully better conversion rate on third downs. The New Orleans Saints, toward the bottom of the NFL in third down conversions, they were 28th in the NFL, 36.4% conversion rate. Okay. So not great, but here's where things get interesting. So the Seahawks, we talked about third down and short up to 3 yards to go. And one of the things that's fascinating there is if you look at the average yards gained per third and short, the New Orleans Saints rank second in the NFL in the average yards gained, second, with 5.4 yards average gain. behind only the Baltimore Ravens, who had a mind-blowing 8.8 yards average gain on third and short. It's also worth noting that the Saints ran the ball 36 times and they passed 28 on third and short. So they were pretty, like, not quite the inverse of the Seahawks, but they definitely ran more than they passed, where the Seahawks were 35 passes to 23 rushes. The Vikings were similar to the Seahawks in average yards gained on third down, down there at 3.5. The Vikings passed the ball 41 times and they ran it 21 times. So they were even more pass happy on third and short than the Seahawks were. Going to be really fascinating to see, like, does Clint Kubiak go with what his tendencies are? Does he go with what has matched with Sam Darnold's? We'll find out. But I thought that was kind of an interesting aspect. The other thing that's worth noting is, I failed to mention this. This is not on just, this is all third downs, not just third and short. For turnover rate, the New Orleans Saints were one of the lowest in turning the ball over on third down in the NFL. They were eighth at 1.7%. That is half of what the Seahawks turnover rate was on third down. So Clint Kubiak takes care of the ball. He runs the ball, especially on third and short. But here's where things get a little challenging for Mr. Kubiak. If you go to third and long, 7 and 10 yards to go, the New Orleans Saints were 31st in the NFL in converting those plays, 23%. And they were passing the ball 56 times to 4 rushes, so they were very heavy into their passing, but they didn't do well. 23%. If you go to third and 10 plus, the Saints finished, what would that be? 25th in the NFL. They converted 15.5%. A little bit better than Seattle, but still very low. Minnesota, for what it's worth, on third and 10 plus, if you didn't remember me saying this before, was second in the NFL. They converted 29% of those. So more than double what the Seahawks and the Saints did. And so I think part of the picture you start to hear or find with Clint Kubiak in these third down situations, set aside the personnel for a second. We'll come back to personnel. But his offense was less likely to be explosive and able to get larger chunk yards, at least with New Orleans. It was better at getting the short yardage situations. And I think that that's pretty important for a lot of different reasons. But third and short are just plays you have to have in the NFL. And if you look at teams that were best at converting third and short, you're talking about the Ravens. The Cardinals were one of the best teams. This is a huge part. They had 71% conversion rate. The Ravens were at 78%. Those are crazy numbers on third and short, especially when you think the Seahawks were down there at like 58%. The Eagles, 61%. Tampa Bay, 67%. The Commanders, 68%. The Chargers, 69%. So a lot of these physical impose-your-will teams excel in these moments. And this happens to be a place where Clint Kubiak has done pretty well. Now, I think that it's worth going back and looking at Clint Kubiak in Minnesota and seeing if there are any similarities there. Now, I know I've looked at this before with Minnesota, and his tendency to be a big play maker on third and short goes back. It holds for that year. So let's go back and look at 2021. And let me pull that up real quick. And we'll look at how the Vikings did that year. Or sorry, how the Vikings did that year. I will look at third and short, because let's see, let's kind of take personnel out of it for a second. And again, this is something I'm doing with you. I haven't seen this before, so we'll find out together, which is kind of fun. And let me look at it in all these different scenarios, and we'll find out how Mr. Kubiak did. My guess, without having seen any of this, my guess is he's going to do better on third and long than he did in New Orleans. But my guess is he's still going to be toward the lower part of the list. All right. So here we go, our 2021 Minnesota Vikings. That's the other team. Now, keep in mind, this had Justin Jefferson. It had, Kirk Cousins. They had a lot of things going for them in 2021. They had Dalvin Cook. They had Adam Thielen still. You know, that was kind of the 2021 Minnesota Vikings. So as far as all third downs converted, they were toward the bottom of the league, 38%. So that's not great. That is 24th in the NFL. Not great. So not a good start there. Then if we look on third and short, 3 yards or less, once again, he was second in the NFL in yard average yards gained on third and short, 7.1 yards. So this is something that is kind of defining for him. He did pass it 35 times and ran it 25 times. So in Minnesota, where the run game was not as good and they had Kirk Cousins, who they felt more confident in, he did pass the ball more often on third and short. I don't love that. I do love the fact that he's showing a willingness to adapt his play calling to match his strengths of his personnel. Kirk Cousins is a better player than Spencer Rattler. Like, Kirk Cousins back in 2021 was a better player than Spencer Rattler was last year for the Saints, maybe even how Derek Carr was last year for the Saints. So that was third and short. They were middling in converting third and short. So while they did gain a lot of yards, their conversion rate was not great. So they had a few big plays, but were not consistent in that. And I think that's not surprising given the fact that their run game was pretty bad. On third and 7 to 10 yards, so third and long, the Minnesota Vikings were... they were seventh. Sorry, they were eighth in the NFL at 36%, 36.6% conversion rate. That's interesting. Like, it's better than I would have thought. So far, this is kind of defying what I would have expected. Clint Kubiak, with this personnel difference, was a pretty different coordinator. Let's look at the longest, third and 10 plus. And in those situations, Minnesota was middle of the pack. What was that? 3, 6, 9, 12, 14th. So I think it's helpful to kind of get to know your coordinator in that regard and know what he does well, what he does not. And what seems to be a hallmark of Clint Kubiak is he adapts to his personnel. So I think that's one thing to know about Mr. Kubiak. Let's take a look at some of the personnel and how they do in these situations. So let's take a look at Sam Darnold. I think that's a good place to start. He is going to be a pretty critical part of how this offense operates and will also be an indicator for Clint Kubiak how to use people. So let's look at last year's third down splits. And I think I actually want to look at this in a different way, but I'm going to start by just looking at this. So on third down, Sam Darnold had a 89 passer rating, which is not great It's not terrible. It's not great. 9 touchdowns to 3 interceptions. He did run the ball 13 times for 69 yards and picked up 9 first downs through his legs. I think that's a good thing to know about Sam Darnold. People forget how mobile he is. When you break it down by different distances, like 3rd and 7 to 9 yards, that one's interesting. He had a 107.5 passer rating there, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. Did better in those situations. Struggled a little bit more in the others. So 3rd and mid 4 to 6 yards, he had a 75 passer rating. 3rd and long, like 10 plus, 75 passer rating. So he was kind of at his best in 3rd to 7 to 9. And that's an odd place to be your best. But in some ways, that could be cool for Seattle if that turns out to be a thing, because Clint Kubiak, I think, has a lot of weapons to use on 3rd and short. That will not rely on the quarterback necessarily. Might not even have Sam Darnold in on some of those 3rd and shorts, depending on how Jalen Milroe gets used. And while we're mentioning, I actually want to come back to this. So let me pull open 3rd down splits across the NFL last year for quarterbacks. And we'll look at 3rd downs, and we're going to look at people that had at least 20 attempts on 3rd down. I might pull that up, but let me see. So across the NFL, who are the best passers on 3rd down? And where did Sam Darnold rank? Sam Darnold ranked 21st in the NFL in 3rd downs. I almost want to raise this more. I think I want to raise this more because let's have at least 70 pass attempts on 3rd down to get rid of some of this noise in here. And I'll even share this in case you guys want to see what I'm seeing. It's going to look like it's not the best view in the world. I'll zoom in for you here. So these are the best quarterbacks in the NFL last year on 3rd down in general. Jared Goff, the best. You see Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes. Interesting to see Derek Carr. Derek Carr up there as one of the best 3rd down quarterbacks. That's potentially part of a Clint Kubiak situation as well. Baker Mayfield, like basically you look down, these are the best quarterbacks who did the best in football last year. Like, pretty much, other than like Derek Carr, although he started off very strong. That's a who's who of the quarterback list. You got to scroll pretty far to get down to Sam Darnold. He was 17th of the guys that really were out there doing it. And this is by passer rating. If you look at by passing touchdowns, Sam Darnold climbs to 10th on touchdowns in 3rd down situations. If you look at how many times somebody was sacked, Sam Darnold was sacked 8th most in the NFL on 3rd downs. That is equal to what Geno Smith. Both were sacked 16 times on 3rd downs. And, you know, you look at some of these other aspects of 3rd down play, completion rate. I think this is where Sam Darnold is going to really struggle. Sam Darnold is 25th in the NFL, had a 56% completion rate on 3rd down. Interestingly, Matt Stafford was lower than that at 55%. But Matt Stafford is infallible, so why would we bring that up? Josh Allen was even lower than Matt Stafford, and Sam Darnold, 53%. So there are some Trevor Lawrence was worst in the NFL, 46% completion rate on third down. Anyway, just kind of interesting to see how these guys performed in those situations. Now, I'm kind of curious to see. Receivers. So let's look at receivers that had at least, 10 targets. And see who was, who had the most, most receiving yards. Most receiving yards in that situation. All right. So I'll pull this up for you guys so you can see it as I'm looking at it as well. These are third down receivers, and it's not just people that play the receiver position, that it's people that catch the ball in general. So who had the most first down catches on third down? Cortland Sutton for the Broncos, Amon-Ra St. Brown for the Lions, Travis Kelce. These are kind of the go-to receivers. Interestingly, JSN is tied for fifth with 20 first down receptions in the NFL. I think that's pretty interesting. I didn't know that. I knew that he was good on third downs. I didn't know he was that good. And I think that's a pretty helpful weapon to have for a Seahawks team that's looking for a combination of being better on third and long and also really being better on third and short. You kind of keep scrolling down this list, and I'm kind of wondering where Cooper Kupp is. I'm wondering where Cooper Kupp is because I think of Cooper Kupp as a third down weapon. Tyler Lockett down here at 43rd with, well, actually that would be tied for 39th with 12 first downs on third down. He's tied with Puka Nacua for what it's worth. DK Metcalf had 11 first down catches on third down. So that's a significant chunk of first down receptions you're going to have to replace. That's 23 first down receptions between DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. So while they were not great red zone weapons, they did have some value for sure, especially Tyler on third down. I'm still scrolling. Maybe I missed Cooper Kupp, or maybe he's just this far down. Noah Fant had 7. Let's do a search here. Cooper Kupp, there he is. Cooper Kupp all the way down here at the Noah Fant level was 7 last year. That ties for 95th. That's not great. That's kind of surprising and not encouraging. Now, that will replace some of the third down production that you got from these other guys, but not all of it. And if we look for Saints players, the top Saints player in third down receptions for first downs was Juwan Johnson, their tight end, with 7. So he was down there with Cooper Kupp and Noah Fant. But I think it's interesting to note that the top receiver in terms of catching first downs on third down for Clint Kubiak was a tight end. Now, that's partially personnel. And let's do this real quick. We're going to look at 2021 so that we can see whether that is a trend or just a personnel issue, because the Saints had pretty much all of their receivers injured last year. All right. So here is the same search I was doing there, but this is looking at 2021. So we're going to be looking for Vikings, and look at that. Justin Jefferson led the NFL in 2021 while Clint Kubiak was their coordinator with 31 first down catches on third down. That is crazy. By the way, Cooper Kupp was 3rd in the NFL this season with 26 first downs on third down. So that, if there's anything that tells you a worrying trend for Cooper Kupp going from 26 first downs on third down to 7 a few years later, it's not good. And something to monitor, because you kind of need Cooper Kupp to be someone who can get you some third down wins. Let's look, while we're here, I want to find out. Adam Thielen was the second most on that Vikings team. So the two receivers were the most, and then KJ Osborne, a third receiver, was third. So they did not utilize the tight end on third down that year for Clint Kubiak. So that I think that's kind of interesting. And the implication, once again, is more evidence that Clint Kubiak uses the personnel he has. He's not just going to be one thing. I think that's good news. I wanted to look at a couple of other stats that I'd started to look at, and then I forgot I was looking at them. But let's go back to, let's go to EPA per play and success rate. Excuse me while I clear my throat. All right, so let's look at EPA and success rate, courtesy of our buddies over at runningbacksstilldontmatter.com. So this is, let's make this much, much bigger. Okay. Uh-oh, it's going to refresh because I did that. All right, so we're looking here at dropback EPA per play and rush EPA per play on third downs last year. And what you can notice here is that the Seahawks are in this lower left quadrant, which is not good. They were below average in dropback per EPA per play and rush EPA per play. Where are the Saints? The Saints are much worse on dropback EPA per play. Not super surprising with the injuries and with the rookie quarterback. They were a little bit better in rush EPA per play, but not great in either of them. So if we look at success rates, the Seahawks were 22nd, the Saints were 30th overall on success rate. If you look at rush EPA, let's look at rush EPA. The Saints were 17th. The Seahawks were 25th. So there is a little bit of a difference there. But I think that's kind of as much as we should probably dive into Clint Kubiak in this particular exploration. I did want to look at Jalen Milroe on third down in college, in case you were curious, because I was curious. So what were his third down splits? This is just last year, 2024. So he was a guy that had he had 7 touchdowns, 3 interceptions on third down. So not great to have the interceptions, but he has a positive touchdown to interception ratio. He ran the ball 39 times for 163 yards, 4.2 yards per carry. He had 9 touchdowns running on third down, including a 72-yard run on third down. So they're not all third and shorts, or third and goals, I should say. If you break it down a little bit further, when it was third and... Interesting. Okay. When it was third and truly short, 1 to 2 yards, he only passed the ball twice all season. He ran the ball 14 times and averaged 6.6 yards per carry. So again, like, it's so hard to imagine that you're not going to use Jalen Milroe in some of these short yardage situations, that you're not going to use Robbie Oots, that you're not going to use Kenneth Walker, you know, in some of these short yardage situations, to just be a much more physical team than you were a year ago. Abe Lucas being back and healthy and like lifting tons daily. Jalen Milroe was at his best on third and 3 to 7 yards, so kind of mid distance. He completed 66% of his passes, averaged 9.3 yards per throw, had 5 touchdowns, only 1 interception. That was his best down distance and across the board. He also ran the ball 15 times for 28 yards and 5 touchdowns. Where he struggled, if he struggled, it was third and 11 plus is how they have the splits here. He was just 6 out of 23 passes for 26% completion rate, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions. He carried the ball 4 times, lost 29 yards. So when it gets to third and super long, you know, he's not good, or at least he wasn't good last year. But I think those are some encouraging third down numbers for Jalen Milroe in that situation. I was also kind of curious. I want to see about Torrey Horton in those situations. So let's look at Torrey Horton's splits. And we're just going to look at, let's look at 2023, because 2024 was injury shortened. So let's look at 2023. Third downs. Do they have third down splits for receivers? They do. Good. Okay. So he does not tell me how many first downs he caught. But he, on like third and long, 8 to 10 yards, he had 9 catches and averaged 14 yards per catch. So he was a pretty good target on third and long. But he was a pretty good third down target in general that year. So not sure that Torrey Horton's going to be a huge part of the answer, but I think he's an interesting one to monitor there. I think he's a great route runner. He's got great speed to threaten the defense and could be part of the answer there. What else? There's other things I was looking at here and I'm kind of curious what I'm missing. So I think, I mean, Zach Charbonnet was a good player on third down last year for the Seahawks. Kenneth Walker has his moments. I think obviously was injured for a decent chunk of last year, and that might play a role. Obviously, the offensive line is going to be different than it was last year with Gray Zabel in there, potentially with Jalen Sundell, and then with Abe Lucas being healthy, and we'll see who's at right guard. Offensive line play will be a huge part of this. The Sam Darnold piece is interesting and I think indicates that this is a guy that has something to offer on some of these longer plays. He's also a scrambler. And then you've got Jalen Milroe, who's someone who could potentially come in on certain situations and be a sub package guy. So I think what I kind of walk away from this little research project, my assessment is Clint Kubiak. The biggest thing I notice is he's really going to emphasize the personnel he's got. He's not just going to be one guy. I think that's really good news. It's also good news that he has lived in a system where he is third and short and he is going to just pound the rock, and that he consistently has been one of the most explosive coordinators on third and short overall. Both in Minnesota and in New Orleans, he finished 2nd in the NFL on average yards gained on third and short. So this is a guy that looks for big plays on those short yardage situations. Ah, that was the other thing I was going to look at. Let's look at fourth downs real quick. You guys feel free to jet if you don't want to, but I'm curious. So I'm going to look. I want to see it fourth downs, because fourth downs, if you remember last year, I told you the stat that the top 4 teams in converting fourth downs last year all were in the conference championships. It is the Chiefs, It is the Commanders, the Bills, and the Eagles. All right. It is just a huge part of ways to extend your drives. So go back to last year and we look at fourth down conversion rate. The Seahawks ranked 21st, same in fourth down as they did in third down. How did the Saints do last year? So the Saints finished 16th in fourth down conversion rate. That's pretty good. And let's take a look at, let's make sure we are limiting. Yes. Okay. Got it. So the Saints were, you know, toward the middle of the pack. The Seahawks were toward the bottom of the pack. On fourth downs, Saints ran it 19 times to 11 passes. The Seahawks, 11 passes, 11 rushes. And let's look at fourth down and like one. Let's look at fourth down and one. How did teams do in that scenario where you're really talking about just getting 1 yard? How did teams do? This is like, if you're going for it, this is a play that is like that swings the momentum for your team massively. Well, the LA Rams led the NFL in conversion rate on fourth and one with 91%. The Commanders were right there at 90%. Then the Bills at 89%, the 49ers at 88, the Eagles at 87, the Broncos at 86, the Titans, interestingly, tied with the Bucks at 86. So, by the way, it's Denver, Tennessee, and Tampa. And then who was ninth in the NFL in fourth and one conversion rate? The New Orleans Saints. 84.6%. They ran it 8 times. They passed it 5 times. So this is like, you get a little view. Clint Kubiak does like to kind of fool you in some of these short yardage situations. And when the defense is all focused on stopping the run, he will try to pass the ball, because guess who led the entire NFL in average yards gained on fourth and one? The New Orleans Saints. 7.5 yards per play on fourth and one. So he is a guy that wants to be explosive in these situations where you're getting very advantageous coverage situations. That's just something to know about Clint Kubiak. And I think it's pretty interesting. The Seahawks, are you curious? If the Saints were ninth in the NFL and converted 85% of their fourth and ones, where do you think the Seahawks were? Well, they weren't dead last, because the Arizona Cardinals were dead last. That's fascinating to me. The Cardinals were dead last. They are kind of a power, you know, James Conner running team, but they were dead last. They were not second, third, fourth, fifth, or sixth. They were sixth worst in the NFL. 57% conversion rate. And this is a sad thing to say, but the Seahawks were sacked twice on fourth and one. No other team was sacked more than once. Only 5 teams were sacked at all on fourth and one. And the Seahawks were sacked twice. They only passed the ball 3 times, and they were sacked 2 out of 3 times. So, ouch, that's rough. That's very rough. But interesting to see how Clint Kubiak performed on fourth and one. I think that's good news as well. All right, we have got a super chat here I want to get to. Hawks Maniac says, Brian, in your opinion, what are 4 key stats that the Seahawks need to improve on so we can win the division and make it to the playoffs? Well, great question. Thank you for asking. It's what I've been talking about in these shows. Red zone, third down, fourth down. Those are Those are three numbers that just have to get better. And the fourth is takeaways. 100% takeaways. The defense needs to do a better job of taking the ball away so that the Seahawks are starting their offense in more advantageous field positions. The Seahawks had the fewest possessions in plus in opponent territory, started in opponent territory in the NFL. Defense can't just be like good at stopping people. It has to be good at giving the offense advantageous field position and ideally like some gimmies. Other teams, they get these gimmies where they can just go in, start at the 40-yard line. They know they're going to get points of some sort. But if we look at drive stats, I'm going to look at this real quick because I can and I'm curious. If I go to drive stats and let me pull up the 2024 season. Let's look at drive averages. So the average starting position for the Seahawks was second worst in the NFL, 27.8 yards at the 27.8 yard line. The team that had the best starting average field position was the Buffalo Bills at 33.4, the Broncos 32.5, Packers 32, Commanders. You notice like a lot of these teams that had the best starting field positions also had, quote, good offenses. Well, you know, some of that is getting help in that regard. The other part of looking at drive averages that's interesting is you can look at average yards gained per drive. And the Saints and the Seahawks were essentially the same. They averaged 30 yards per drive. If you look at points per drive, the Saints and Seahawks were essentially the same at 1.9 points per drive. And if you look, I think this is probably the best way to assess what the Seahawks offense was last year. They were 22nd in the NFL in percentage of drives that ended in points, 35%. Compare that to the Lions, who are best, 52%, the Commanders, 50%, the Bills, 50%. You know, the Ravens, the Bucks, the Packers, they're all closing in on 50%. One out of every two drives, they're going to score points. Versus the Seahawks, which is like one out of every three drives. If you flip that to the defensive side, the Seahawks were among the best, seventh in the NFL in percentage of drives that ended in points with 34%. They were, let's see, in yards per drive, they were sixth in the NFL. They allowed 29.3. This is why when people say the Seahawks defense was not that good last year, I think they're really off. If you scratch out some of what the offense did or didn't do, the Seahawks defense allowed the sixth fewest yards per drive. If you go to points per drive, the Seahawks were fifth in the NFL last year in points per drive, 1.8 points per drive. So by almost any measure, the Seahawks defense was top five, top six defense overall. But where they struggled was takeaways. Only 9% of their drives resulted in takeaways. That was 18th in the NFL. They finished, I think, 19th overall in takeaways. So that's just something that's got to change this year for that defense to take its next step. All right, everybody, if you have not already given the show a like and click subscribe, please do. I really appreciate it. And thanks to everybody who answered my poll up on YouTube about, you know, an ad that I'm talking about potentially supporting. And I'm thinking about it. You know, I as you know, I try to keep everything about football on this show. No politics, no religion, none of the stuff that divides us as much as possible. I don't want to add divisiveness by the ads that I choose to run. And JK Boots, I think, is a pretty safe one. I think, you know, Pagliacci Pizza, all these others that I've done are very safe. And I hear that people have some strong opinions about gambling, about THC, about, you know, different things. I kind of got to weigh that myself against what the implications are for earnings, but also for like my own values and what I think makes sense. So I'm trying to evaluate those things. I appreciate your patience. I will probably make some bad decisions along the way and I'll learn, but I'll try to keep you guys as part of the process as much as possible. Because look, I think we're doing this together. This is a community we're building together. Patreon.com/HawkBlogger. You get access to the Discord channel, YouTube memberships, club level and higher. You get access to the Discord channel. We got hundreds of folks in there. I talk to you. A lot of people have been asking me what I'm going to do about season tickets in terms of, or ticket sales, like I did last year, where I helped people connect with Seahawks fans. If I do anything, it's going to be probably connected to being a patron. So I'll have to figure out exactly what's going on there, but that's another thing. So point being is that I'm really working on this with all of you and appreciate your support, but I'll let you know where I end up on that one. All right, everybody, that will do it for today's episode of Hawk Blogger Mornings. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great rest of your Wednesday. I am Brian Emhauser. Have a good one.